Okay, so today we're diving deep into a case, a legal battle actually, that really boils down to one question. Can a missing receipt make or break a $62,000 lawsuit?
Intriguing, right?
Absolutely. It's the case of Acme Markets Inc. versus Federal Armored Express Inc. And trust me, it gets pretty interesting. We've got the Superior Court of Pennsylvania's take on it, plus a really solid case brief. So, we're going all in.
So you're about to unpack some serious contract law.
Oh yeah, definitely. But like in a way that's actually, relevant and understandable, especially for law students.
Absolutely. I mean, who wants to drown in legal jargon? We're here to make this stuff make sense.
Exactly. So for everyone listening, think of it this way. We're going to explore how contracts are interpreted when, well, life throws a curveball. Specifically, we're looking at what's called a condition precedent in legal terms. Basically, it's like a must-do before something else kicks in.
You're right, like a domino effect, but in contract law.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to see how courts handle these conditions when sticking to them rigidly could lead to, let's say, a pretty unfair outcome.
Yeah, disproportionate forfeiture, they call it. Essentially, a situation where a tiny misstep could cost someone way more than it should. And that's where things get juicy.
Okay, so picture this. Acme Markets, like your typical grocery store, hires Federal Armored Express to, handle their cash securely. Pretty standard stuff. Their contract says Federal's on the hook for any service-related losses as long as their employee accepts the cash and gives a receipt. Makes sense, right?
Seems pretty straightforward so far.
But here's where things go sideways. It's May 19th, 1990. A Federal employee picks up a bag of cash from Acme over $62,000. But, and this is a big but, he gets robbed before he can hand over that receipt to Acme.
Oh, wow. Talk about bad timing. So what happens next? Acme obviously wants their money back, right?
Right. They go straight to Federal asking for that reimbursement. But Federal says, hold on, no receipt, no deal. They're sticking to the letter of the contract.
Wow, so they're basically saying because that piece of paper is missing, they're off the hook for a robbery that happened while they were responsible for the money.
Pretty much. So Acme, understandably frustrated, decides to sue Federal for breach of contract. They take it to the Court of Common Pleas in Montgomery County, hoping for some, justice.
Makes sense. You'd think a court would see the bigger picture here.
Well, the initial trial court actually sided with Federal. They said the contract was clear, no receipt equals no liability, case closed.
So they strictly interpreted the contract, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, and they declared that receipt a condition precedent. Like it had to happen for Federal's duty to kick in.
But that seems a bit harsh, right? I mean, the money was lost under Federal's watch.
Exactly. So Acme takes it up a notch, appeals to the Superior Court of Pennsylvania, and that's where things take a turn.
Ah, so the higher court might see things differently.
They did. They basically said, hang on, this might not be as black and white as it seems. They reversed the trial court's decision and sent the case back for another look.
Okay, so a little more wiggle room then. Sounds promising for Acme.
It does. And this is where the concept of a condition precedent really comes into play. Like we said, it's something that has to occur before a certain obligation in a contract becomes active.
Right, like that domino effect. So the trial court saw the receipt as that crucial first domino. No receipt, no obligation for Federal to reimburse.
Exactly. It's like, if you have a car insurance policy that says you have to report an accident within 24 hours for them to cover it.
Ah, okay. So missing that deadline means they don't have to pay, even if you had a legitimate claim. Makes sense.
But here's where the Superior Court gets really interesting. They acknowledge that, yeah, the receipt could be considered a condition precedent, but they raised a really important question. What happens if sticking to that condition, like super rigidly, leads to a totally unfair outcome?
Interesting. So they're not just looking at the letter of the contract, but also the spirit of it, right?
Precisely. And that's where disproportionate forfeiture comes in. It's this legal principle that allows courts to consider whether enforcing a contract strictly would cause one party to lose way more than they should, especially compared to the importance of the unmet condition.
Gotcha. So in this case, they're weighing Acme's potential loss of over $62,000 against the importance of this missing receipt. Sounds like a pretty significant imbalance.
Right. And to back this up, they even cited the Restatement Second of Contracts, specifically Section 229. It basically says a court can excuse an unmet condition if it would cause an excessive loss, unless, and this is key, that condition was a super crucial part of the deal.
So was the receipt really that crucial? That's what they need to figure out.
Exactly. So the Superior Court sent the case back to the trial court with some specific questions.
Like homework for the trial court, basically.
Kind of. They wanted to know, first and foremost, what was the purpose of the receipt? Like, why was it even in the contract in the first place?
Right, because maybe it was just a formality,
yeah.
Or maybe it had some deeper significance for Federal's risk management.
Exactly. Then they wanted to know whether that receipt was truly vital to Federal's risk assessment. Did it actually change their exposure to potential losses? Or was it more of an administrative thing just to track the cash?
Yeah, because if it's just a tracking tool and the robbery happened when the money was clearly in Federal's possession, then their liability seems pretty clear, right?
That's the argument Acme's making. Then the Superior Court asked about the extent of Acme's potential loss. You know, that hefty $62,000 plus. This goes straight to the heart of disproportionate forfeiture.
Right, because if they lose that much over a missing piece of paper, it seems pretty out of whack with the actual circumstances.
And lastly, they wanted to know if letting Acme off the hook on the receipt requirement would somehow undermine the protections Federal was trying to get from the contract. Like, would it open them up to a bunch of bogus claims or make their job riskier?
Makes sense. The court wants to be fair to both sides.
Absolutely. So the reason the Superior Court sent the case back was because the original trial didn't really delve into the whole receipt issue. They didn't figure out why it was so important, if it really was.
So they got the guy in a bit, huh?
Kinda. So the remand basically told the trial court, hey, you got to do some digging. Find out the real purpose of the receipt. Look at testimonies, contract drafts, company policies, anything that sheds light on this.
So basically, gather more evidence before making a decision.
Exactly. And once they have that evidence, they need to weigh Acme's potential loss against the real significance of that receipt.
Sounds like a pretty delicate balancing act.
It is. But it brings up some key takeaways, especially for those studying law. You know, if you're drafting contracts, this case shows how important it is to be super clear about why a certain condition is in there. Don't assume everyone just gets it.
Spell it out. Right. Be explicit about the purpose.
Yep. And if you're ever in a contract dispute like this, make sure you gather all the evidence you can to show the true importance, or maybe lack of importance, of that condition, especially if enforcing it would cause a huge unfair loss.
Don't just focus on the literal words, but the context and the consequences. Got it.
So this case, Acme Markets, it reminds us that contract law isn't always rigid and literal. Courts can, and sometimes have to, consider fairness and equity.
Right, because blindly following a contract could lead to some pretty unjust results.
Exactly. Like the case brief says, even if a condition precedent exists, a court might excuse it if enforcing it would cause a huge and unfair loss, especially if that condition wasn't super important to the deal in the first place.
And the court even hinted that the receipt was probably just for accounting purposes, which strengthens Acme's argument even more.
So, big takeaway. Courts are going to scrutinize those conditions, especially if enforcing them would cause a big unfair loss. And the purpose, the why behind those conditions, that's key.
It's not just about what the contract says, but what it means in the real world.
So for everyone listening, the next time you're looking at a contract, especially those little clauses that seem kind of insignificant, remember this case, Acme Markets. Think about whether that small detail could turn into a huge problem and if that would actually be fair.
Yeah, sometimes those seemingly minor details can reveal some really important legal principles.
Absolutely. And that's what makes diving deep into these cases so interesting.
Definitely keeps things from being boring.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Always something new to learn.
That's why we do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.